Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Get the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Every single month, I scour books to find a resource that is a poignant and profound and prophetic resource, or resource that I think you need. And this month, I found such a resource, and it is available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It is Oz Guinness's book, Last Call for Liberty. I've said this many times, when Oz Guinness writes, I read. In Last Call for Liberty, Oz Guinness is pointing out that the freedom of the American experiment hangs by a thread, and that the present generation has to make its choice. Why? Because all who came before you in your history, all who will come after you, and that includes your children and your children's children, and all across the world who long to live in freedom just as you have, they call on you. They call on you to consider things well and to rise up to the challenge of this hour. Ponder the choice between 1776, the American Revolution, and 1789, of course, the French Revolution. And when you ponder that choice, do so with care. Think again and look to what needs to be restored before the darkness falls on your great experiment in Republican freedom. This is your hour. This is the American hour. This is a moment on which everything turns. There's a way before you that can lead to renewal and restoration, or there is one that leads to decadence and decline. The choice that you must make is yours and yours alone. And by the way, so also will be the consequences. Choose then, America, whether you wish to stay true to the better angels of your founding promise and shoulder the burden of being the world's beacon of responsible and enduring freedom. Choose whether you desire life or death, blessings or curses. Whether you desire freedom and flourishing or chaos and decline. Choose. Choose as the Jews chose before you and your early American ancestors chose in their turn, whether you will again be a city on a hill or become a story and a byword throughout the world. America, America, says Oz Guinness again, a prescient voice. Do you know what time it is? Do you understand the meaning of this very moment? Freedom is at stake. So act worthy of yourselves. Your great experiment in freedom, your unfinished story, and the challenge of the hour and of humanity. God, history, and the watching world await your answer. In the words of your greatest president, will you be as a free people and do what it takes to live free forever, or will you die by your own hand? Reminds me a little bit of the title, The Suicide of a Nation. Will you listen? Will you reflect and turn around, or will you continue to rush headlong toward, like Rome, a fall that is beyond belief? The hour for your decision is now. And I don't think Oz is overstating that at all. All civilization, whatever their momentary grandeur, have the flimsiness of a newspaper. If you view Washington from Capitol Hill and the self-proclaimed epicenter of the world, well, it will evoke a sense of supernatural eternality, a superiority unequaled by the greatest of civilizations. And yet, if you view Rome from Palatine Hill, the centermost of the seven hills on which Rome was founded, well, a new reality will set in. For 600 years, the city of Rome towered above the nations. It was adorned by seven wonders and sparkled in vain pomp and circumstance. It had an invincibility so certain that she bore the moniker Eternal. And then the unthinkable. Alaric and his Arian hordes breached the walls and sacked the immortal city. What a fragile thing civilization is. How near we are to losing it. The hinge of history swings open, and then, with a suddenness and finality, closes. These are words that we collectively must take to heart. It is not the last generation that you are responsible for, nor perhaps the next, but you are responsible for this very moment. In this vein, I want to take as my quote of the day the words from the famed song by Frances Havergal, Take My Life. Perhaps you know the words. I can't sing it, but I can say it. Take my life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet, and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice, and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips, and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee. Words worth not only memorizing, but meditating upon. By the way, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, also available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute this month. Check it out on the web, dequip.org, along with what I just quoted from Last Call for Liberty by Oz Guinness. We've had him on the broadcast many times on the podcast. He is a voice that desperately needs hearing, not only by you, but by our elected officials as well. As we come to the close of this particular segment, I do want to thank all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. For only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how your generosity is being used to touch the lives of people throughout the world. As I travel throughout the world, I'm always amazed at the impact that you are having. Not me, but you. I couldn't do what I do, the ministry couldn't do what the ministry does without you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for standing again shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. When we come back from the phone lines, we'll go right to the phone lines. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, numerically, 888-275-4265.
Will the torch of freedom be handed to someone else or be extinguished altogether? Oz Guinness addresses this issue in what may be one of the most important books of our time. If you care about our liberties and the future of our nation, his new book, Last Call for Liberty, is an absolute must-read. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
America is running out of time. Our republic is suffering the biggest crisis since the Civil War, with competing visions of freedom pushing us to the precipice of cultural self-destruction, and the roots of the crisis run deeper than many realize. In his new book, Last Call for Liberty, Oz Guinness explains that America has become a house divided, and Americans must make up their minds as to which freedom to follow. Will the constitutional republic be restored or replaced? Guinness provides a stirring vision for faithful citizenship and renewed responsibility for a nation in need and a world that is watching. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Thank you.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can access us on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's talk first to Chuck in North Delta, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Chuck.
I don't know. Are you calling me, Chuck?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, no, I'm not Chuck, but I'll go with it. It doesn't matter.
Oh. That's the call on the screen that says Chuck. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm okay with that. Okay, but first of all, we should both thank God that we both live in countries where we can still ask questions.
Sure.
Okay? And, yep. Though it's getting tougher. It is getting tougher, and thanks for pointing that stuff out. But I got a tough question. It's kind of been troubling me for a little bit, and maybe you can help me out. Genesis 6, Nephilim, I believe is the name.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. And then, so I'd like to know the difference between that and demonic possession in the New Testament, when we're told of that.
Yeah, well, there's no warrant whatsoever for supposing that in Genesis 6 we have a case of demonic possession. That's really not what's being proffered. Typically what people say is that fallen angels had sex with women and then they produced a particular kind of offspring, sort of a hybrid. And the judgment of the flood was on not only fallen humanity, but that hybrid as well. And what I've typically said in this case is that a biblical worldview does allow for fallen angels to possess unsaved human beings. It does not, however, support the notion that a demon-possessed person can produce offspring that are part demon and part human. So this passage in Genesis 6 is of course, the famed passage on the fall. And that fall has to do with a flood. So you have fallen humanity becoming so wicked that God destroys fallen humanity in the raging waters of a flood. And then we have the rainbow, and this will never happen again. There will be a time, however, that Jesus appears a second time, and then he will put all things to right.
Okay, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
All right, I appreciate it because it's totally left field, and I've listened to you for many years, but I've never heard anybody actually ask this question. So we're here in the New Testament, and a demon-possessed person has a child. Is there any transfer there whatsoever?
No, and I think this is one of the things that we need to recognize, that there are consequences whereby the sins of the fathers pass on to the children, which is to say there are consequences for an alcoholic man for the children of that alcoholic man. So in that sense, there is something that is passed down the line, but I don't think that we can say biblically that demon possession is a generational curse. In fact, the scriptures quite clearly say the opposite, that each person is liable for their own sins. In fact, there's a proverb that was often quoted in Israel, and that was that the fathers, they eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on end. Or even vice versa, by the way. And then God says, in no unmistakable terms, don't ever let that proverb be spoken in my land again. It's not true. The sins of the fathers are the sins of the fathers. The sins of the sons are the sins of the sons. One is not culpable for the other.
Yeah, right on. I appreciate everything you do.
You got it. Thanks for your call. You know, this whole issue of demon possession is very, very interesting. So many people today are supposing that Christians can be demon possessed. And I think that the Bible speaks against that very notion. In fact, using the illustration of a house, Jesus himself asks, how can anyone enter into a strong man's house and then carry off his possessions unless he first is able to tie up that strong man? Well, in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil. In a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. And I think the force of the argument that the Lord is using here leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess believers, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them, which means, of course, that they're binding God himself. Perish the thought. Well, Jesus not only provides this argument, but there's a corollary argument that can be found in the Scripture. And this is when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes, Jesus says, through the arid places and it seeks rest, but then it doesn't find it. And then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, Jesus says, it finds the house. Well, the house is unoccupied. It's swept clean and put in order. And then it goes out and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse, says Jesus, than the first condition of that man. Well, the point here is quite pristine and precise. If we're occupied by the Holy Spirit, we subject ourselves to the possibility of being inhabited by demons. So again, if you are not occupied by the Holy Spirit, you are subject to the possibility of being inhabited by a demon. But if, on the other hand, your house is Christ's home and you are being deified, the devil finds no place in you. And by the way, I have also used another, what I think is equally airtight argument against Christian demonization, and that comes from the Gospel of John. And here you have the Jews accusing Jesus of being demon-possessed, and rather than circumvent their accusations, what does the Lord do? Well, he is typical, reaches out to the accusations of his accusers with reason. And the essence of his reasonable argument is, I'm not possessed by a demon because I honor my Father. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is saying, I am not possessed by a demon. Why? Because I honor my Father. Well, the point ought to be impossible to miss here. Being demon-possessed and honoring God are mutually exclusive categories. And of course, you ought to not just take my word for it. You ought to pore through the pages of Scripture. And if you do that, there is not a single credible example of a demonized believer. Instead, the consistent teaching of Scripture is that Christians cannot be controlled against their wills through demonic inhabitation. Again, I'm not talking about unbelievers here. I'm talking about Christians. The principle, I think, is foolproof. If you were a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King himself indwells you, and you can rest assured that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That is not my opinion. That is what John says in his first epistle. So searching the Scriptures will more than satisfy you intellectually. If Christ communicates that honoring God and being demon-possessed are mutually exclusive categories, and if the Bible does not contain a single credible example of a demonized Christian, the matter should be settled in your mind. So again, an electronic voice ought not to be what you ultimately determine to be true, but you ought to search the scriptures and to see if indeed this is true. The scriptures which were, of course, carried on by the apostolic fathers through the Holy Fathers to the time that they were codified in 367 and finally ratified later on. We have those scriptures today, and we ought not to abuse them, but use them properly, not read into them, but read the scriptures for all they are worth, and again, rely on the testimony of the church, which has been passed down through the ages. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back again Monday with more of the show. We do, once again, gratefully appreciate those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us, prayerfully and financially, in the battle for life and truth. So long for this week.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the strategic resource, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. To receive a copy of this vital book as our appreciation for your prayerful and financial partnership during the crucial year-end month of December, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.